Welcome back to Dad's on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues, and more. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Luke Benedictus. Luke is one of three dad creators of the new book called The Fatherhood: Inspiration for the New Dad Generation. Luke is the father of Joe and Mark. He has spent 20 years working as a writer and editor across an assortment of magazines, newspapers, and websites. Before The Fatherhood, he was the editor of the Australian edition of Men's Health, after stints at The Age, The Sun Online, and Eurosport in France. The other dad creators are Jeremy McVean and Andrew McCutcheon. Luke, welcome to Dad's on the Air.
Thanks very much for having me.
So, Luke, the subheading for your new book is Inspiration for the New Dad Generation. How does your book aim to do that?
Well, really, what the book is essentially is it's a celebration of fatherhood. We call it sort of 328 pages of dopamine hits for dads. And I guess what it's really about is it's a book that celebrates the evolution of the modern dad, because I suppose back in the day, a father's role was really limited, it seems, to being, you know, the breadwinner and the disciplinarian. But luckily, we feel that times have really changed. All the stats show that modern dads are now more involved in their kids' lives than ever before. There's been some research out of America recently that shows that dads today spend three times as many hours with our kids than dads did back in the 1960s. And that's a really positive thing, we feel, not just for dads, but for families as a whole. But at the same time, it's also a challenge, because we've also got to figure out how to make that work as families at a time when traditional gender roles are basically dead. So I guess what the book does is it shines a spotlight on the changing nature of fatherhood through a series of interviews and essays with some of the most well-known dads in the world. So we've been really lucky to be able to chat to a whole bunch of great dads: Hugh Jackman, David Beckham, Ben Stiller, Mark Wahlberg, as well as an assortment of fatherhood experts and academics.
In talking about the new dads, and you mentioned then that dads are spending three times more time with their children, do you see that also as perhaps a criticism of the previous generations?
Absolutely not. I think the point is that the new generation of dads, we've got an opportunity our fathers never had to be more involved with their kids. In the book, we talked to a guy called Professor Richard Fletcher, who works at the University of Newcastle, and he says that it's the best time in history to be a dad. And the reason he says that is that he just says that today dads have got permission to get more involved, to be in a more emotional relationship. I mean, he talks about 30-odd years ago when Bob Hawke, the Prime Minister, he cried in public after getting a message about his daughter's substance abuse. And at the time, there were all these newspaper articles saying, you know, has Hawkey lost it? Is he falling apart? Because back then, the reaction to showing emotion about your children in public, it just wasn't acceptable. But now that's changed. So, you know, I think that this generation of dads like myself, we're really lucky to have that opportunity to be more actively involved in our kids' lives. And I guess what we're trying to encourage men to do is to seize that opportunity with both hands.
Well, it is timely because, although, as you mentioned, some attitudes have changed, but there's so much press, there are advertisements, there's the family court that tend to portray men as either idiots or violent. Is that why you say that we need a revolution in this area?
Yeah, well, we say that dads need a rebrand, you know, because that's, I think you're quite right. A lot of the time, dads do get portrayed in a slightly derogatory light. One of the interviews I did for the book was with a guy called Joe Broom, who is the creator of Bluey, you know, the ABC kids cartoon that's now conquering the world. It's bigger than Play School and the Wiggles now. And when I interviewed him, I said, look, Joe, here's the thing. Look, cartoon dads in general, they tend to be half-wits or buffoons. You know, you think about Homer Simpson or Daddy Pig in Peppa Pig. And I said, but look, Joe, you've created this character in Bluey, because the dad in Bluey is called Bandit. And I said, you've created this dad who's competent, he's hands-on, he's engaged. And I said, look, when you made that character, were you trying to make some sort of veiled political statement about changing gender roles or something like that? And his reply, I thought, was incredibly telling. What he said was, that is absolutely not what I was trying to do. I said, the basis of Bandit's character is purely observational. He's based on what I see my brothers being like as dads, what I see my mates being like as dads. He's just a straight-up depiction of the here and now, where being a dad just seems much more like an all-in. And I think that's an incredible positive remark about the state of fatherhood in Australia in 2019.
You mentioned some of the people you've had contributing, Ben Stiller, Mark Wahlberg, Hugh Jackman, David Beckham, and some sportsmen, Tim Cahill. Were they very keen to participate? I'm just wondering, how did you approach them to do these interviews?
Look, I mean, I think we got very lucky to some extent. I guess my background is as a journalist, and I've sort of, you know, I worked at Men's Health for many years, so I suppose over the years you build up a few contacts. But I think the thing is that I think men often are actually quite willing to sort of talk about their kids and to talk about their dads. You know, I think fatherhood, I guess a lot of the time when you know, Hugh Jackman or David Beckham is being interviewed, the questions don't tend to be about their families. Mm. But I mean, I think most dads out there, let's face it, when it comes down to it, we're pretty proud of our kids, and they like talking about their families and their family values. I think what was most interesting about talking to them is that what we learned through the book is speaking to these celebrities is that, you know, fame doesn't solve fatherhood. You know, fortune doesn't sound fatherhood. For the website that we have, which is www.the-father-hood.com, one of my colleagues, Andrew, he interviewed Chris Hemsworth late recently. And the thing that he got from that interview is that even this guy Thor, you know, with all his thunderbolts and lightning, he still lies awake at night worrying about his kids' screen time and how much he's going to be away from home for work. So I guess with these celebrities, people say, you know, is their experience really relevant to the average dad on the street? And yeah, look, sure. I mean, it must be, you know, significantly easier for these guys because they've got money for nannies and au pairs and bucket loads of cash. But I suppose the thing is that their problems as dads still don't necessarily go away. And I think fatherhood, it is actually a much more universal issue than a lot of people give it credit for.
Well, the title of the book, The Fatherhood, is that sort of, they're separate words, but I'm thinking it sort of links to perhaps the neighbourhood. Does it mean that fathers should get together and perhaps compare experiences?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. So we're called The Fatherhood, which is like a sort of a neighbourhood for dads, or it could also, it's also, I suppose, a bit of a play on the brotherhood as well. But I think that in general, men are probably a lot worse at identifying with each other as dads, women are perhaps as mums. And I think that's a shame because, look, I think the thing is that a lot of us as dads, we're going through many of the same issues. But because we don't tend to identify with each other primarily as dads, we tend to be going through these issues alone, whereas we could be sort of calling each other and saying, oh, look, how do you cope with, you know, with that phase of your child's life, or how do you cope with those relationship problems? So I feel like what we're really trying to do is create a bit of a community, because when I became a dad, I looked around and there was a mountain of media out there for mums, but there wasn't that much stuff for dads. I mean, this radio program is a great example of something that has been very long established. But personally, what I found very helpful is I was talking to the two guys I founded The Fatherhood with, Andrew and Jeremy, and you know, we'd catch up over a beer and, you know, we'd talk about this and that, but quite often the conversation would go on to, you know, our family lives. You know, some days I'd be saying, you know, oh, geez, I've got to go away from work. You know, my wife's going to kill me. What do I do? You know, another time, Andrew might be talking about problems he's having, you know, with his toddler sleeping. We found those conversations incredibly sort of helpful and encouraging. And the idea behind really about creating the website was we just wanted to scale those conversations up into a sort of an online sort of community. And I guess we've just been really humbled by the reaction we've had, and you know, now you know, we're live across online social media, and now this brand new book.
Well, it's great that you're doing this, because I can, just from my own experience, I think what typically happens when men become fathers is they do tend to isolate themselves a bit, and they perhaps lose contact with their mates, and they lose contact even with their own family because it's so all-encompassing. But I think you're encouraging men to actually get out and continue that social contact with perhaps other men who've been through it.
Absolutely. Look, I think I definitely found it a socially isolating experience having kids. I mean, you know, suddenly my life was reduced to, I'd go to work and then I'd rush back and, you know, try and get there to sort of help my wife out with these, you know, these small children. And, you know, there's been a lot of studies that show that the first year of fatherhood in particular can be one of the most sort of mentally challenging times for many men. I mean, we hear a lot about, you know, postnatal depression among women, like one in five women is meant to suffer from postnatal depression or anxiety. But studies now show that actually one in 10 men also get postnatal depression. So, look, clearly it is quite a prevalent issue, and, you know, the more we can do about it, the better.
So I think we want to get away from that stereotype of Zorba the Greek when he said, did he have a family? He said, yes, wife, kids, the whole disaster.
Love it.
So we're speaking today with Luke Benedictus, who is one of the creators of this new book and a new movement called The Fatherhood. Luke, we might take a break now, and we always ask our guests to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which one you picked and why you picked it?
Yeah, look, the reason I've picked this song is, so my two-year-old son, Joe, he is obsessed with trains. I mean, he is absolutely crazy about them. And when he heard this song, he absolutely loved it. And the reason is, the song I'm going to pick is Purple Rain by Prince. But when my son Joe heard it, he misheard the lyrics and thought Prince was singing Purple Train, Purple Train. So now, every night when Joe's in the bath, he demands that I play Prince's Purple Rain. So, Joe, if you're listening, this one's for you.
Oh, you've done it to us now. Every time we hear this song, we're going to think Purple Train.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And that was Purple Rain by Prince and the Revolution, as specially chosen for us today by our guest, Luke Benedictus, who is one of the creators of The Fatherhood, inspiration for the new dad generation. Luke, what would you see, having been through all these interviews and spoken to all these influential people, what do you see as the most important role of a dad?
You know what? I think it's just ultimately, there's no real roadmap about how to be a good dad. I think the most, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. We're learning as we go a lot of the time. But I think the most important thing is just to turn up and just to be there for your kids. I came across a lovely quote the other day. It's a little bit cheesy, but it really spoke to me. And that was that kids spell love, T-I-M-E. They don't care about giving them so much about sort of you sort of showering them with sort of gifts, or they don't care about money or this or that. What they really want is just to be able to spend time with their parents. And the truth is, not all dads have got the opportunity to spend as much time as they would like with their kids. But I think the secret of being a good dad is just to try and be there with your kids as much as you possibly can.
Yes, when people say perhaps that they haven't got time to spend time with their children, I suppose I think back to President Obama, who is actually quoted in your book. And I always think, well, if a president of the United States can find time for his children, for his family, I think we all can.
Yeah, there's a lovely story, isn't there, about Obama. Like, apparently when he was president of the United States in the White House, he made this rule that he said that he wanted to be back in the White House every night at 6:30 to have dinner with Michelle and the two kids. And he said he'd only miss that two nights a week. And I kind of remember hearing that and I'm thinking, wow, you know, we all think we're pretty busy, but you think, if the truth is, I don't have to deal with, you know, a tricky nuclear situation in Iran. I don't have to go and hunt down Osama bin Laden. So I feel like if Barack Obama could sit down and have a family dinner with his wife and his kids five nights a week, then I probably need to raise my game and make sure I can do the same thing.
Now, in your book, the other side of the coin is also represented. Osher Gunsberg talks about being a stepdad and, you know, what that was like. He suddenly had an instant family, but, you know, he had some interesting tips too, that as a stepdad, you shouldn't try and replace the biological father.
Yeah, I mean, I guess something we really wanted to do in the book was to champion the diversity of the new father who could. Because the truth is, you know, modern families, they don't comply to a one-size-fits-all template. So the book celebrates all sorts of dads, you know, single dads, divorced dads, stepdads, gay dads, dads from all walks of life. And Osher said something really interesting about being a stepdad. He said, you know, if you find yourself in the situation of as a stepdad, just remember that the relationship between the mum and the child that she's brought into the relationship, that comes first, you know. That is the most important thing, and don't be jealous of it. Don't try and interfere with it. Just respect that relationship and do your best to fit around it. So he spoke very, very poignantly about it, because, you know, the truth is, so many families are out there today, you know, they are blended families. You know, I guess we had a few interviews in the book. We had Osher, and we also spoke to Commando Steve, who he spoke very interestingly about. You know, he's got, I think, four kids from three different relationships. But, you know, that doesn't stop him being incredibly committed and sort of loving dad. So we were really keen to speak to dads from all walks of life who are doing it their way and doing it well.
And the poor old dads that don't get to see their children for perhaps reasons of the family court, your message to them, I suppose, would be to do what you can to stay in contact, to still try and spend as much time as you can with those kids.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, any dads out there who are in that situation, I mean, look, my heart just goes out to them. It must be so hard. But I think you're right. I think it is a question about, you know, to do what you can, whether it's text messages or emails or writing letters. One of the interviews we do in the book is it's not someone who is kept away from his kids for the reasons that you mentioned, but it was someone who just worked away from home a lot. And he said that whenever he's away from home on the road for work, he had a little tactic, which was just to twice a day at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. every night, he would just make the time to sort of FaceTime with his kids. And it was just something that was just set in stone every night that he was away. And that was his way of maintaining that connection. You know, they didn't. It's not like they'd have that chat and they'd always have, you know, deep and meaningful conversations. You know, sometimes they'd just sit and, you know, eat cereal together in front of the TV over the FaceTime. But that was his way of trying to bridge that gap. But yeah, look, I mean, it must be incredibly hard when you are separated from your children. But I guess if you just do what you can to stay in touch, I guess that's your only option, really. But it's absolutely worthwhile to try and do it.
Now, as well as the interviews, you've also got some statistics in the book, and it's very clear that there are benefits of having an involved father. And I think Tim Cahill talks about being a father and not a mate. It comes across in your book that the fathers perhaps set boundaries and guidelines and pass that on to their children.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about this. I saw recently there was a film called Absent, which is a film about the impact of growing up without a father. And the statistics in that film are actually, they're quite disturbing, actually. Apparently, sort of kids who grow up with no sort of father figure in their lives, apparently they're five times more likely to commit suicide. They're seven times more likely to become a teenage mum. You know, there are all these quite crazy statistics. So I guess, you know, traditionally in society, we've always thought when it comes to family life that it's all about the mum. And don't get me wrong, I mean, of course, you know, mothers are an incredibly important part of family life. But I think increasingly what research is showing is that dads do matter too. You know, their role isn't just limited to putting food on the table and taking their kids to, you know, sort of sport on a Saturday morning. Hanging out with your kids can make a fundamental difference to their mental, emotional and sort of social development. So yeah, look, you might just think, you know, you're playing Connect Four with your kids, or, you know, kicking a football around the backyard, but no, you're not. You're actually making a genuine positive difference to their lifelong development.
It does seem to work both ways. You mentioned Richard Fletcher a little while ago, and he made a comment that I think we can identify with, that a lot of men say that when did they become a man? It was when they became a father. So there is that. There's the effect on the fathers. There's the effect on the children. It's something we really need to work at, keeping them together, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting thing to say. I mean, I guess there's no real sort of ritual that marks a man's passage into adulthood anymore. And I guess, you know, what are the traditional markers of becoming a man? I mean, these days, so many of the traditional gender roles are dead. You know, I mean, like, you know, it's like women can fight in the army. You know, all those boundaries are being blurred. You know, I've heard about tribes in Africa where when the son hits a certain age, you know, they've got to go out into the wild and kill a lion, and that proves that they have become a man. But Professor Richard Fletcher, he's travelled around Australia. He's interviewed thousands of people from all different backgrounds, and yeah, he said that whenever he asked, you know, when did you make the shift from being a boy to a man, the most common answer is when I became a father. And that was I thought that was a really telling comment from Professor Fletcher.
And you mentioned, yes, the women then who've been saying for a while, we want it all. Well, I think it's time for men to start saying that as well, that, you know, men can get involved in areas where they haven't traditionally been involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a really great point, because I think that the studies show that, as I said, that men are now spending more time than ever with their kids each week. But at the same time, I read about another study recently which showed that when a man becomes a dad, the number of hours he works a week, it doesn't decline. You know, it stays the same, or in some cases it can even go up, because he's got to try and bring in more money to support the family. And I think that in the same way that I suppose women have traditionally battled with that juggling act between work and family life, I think men are now also sort of finding, you know, how do we make that balance act? Because I mean, I guess, you know, you've only got so many hours in the day, and I guess now we've got more of a challenge than ever before on how to make that time work. So this generation of dads, you know, we've got this fantastic opportunity, but at the same time, it's also a challenge.
And we might have a little way to go. I think you've had some experience in France, and in France, the male family members think nothing of kissing each other on the cheek. Do you think we'll get to that stage?
I don't know. I don't think a kiss on the cheek is going to replace a firm handshake anytime soon in Australia, I'm afraid. But yeah, look, I mean, I think things are moving in the right direction. I think if you see the way that the conversation has changed around mental health, definitely I think men are starting to become a bit more comfortable to the idea that it's okay to show that you're vulnerable. Obviously, we've still got a long way to go, but I feel at least there are positive signs that we might be headed in the right direction.
And we're speaking today with Luke Benedictus, who is one of the creators of this new book called The Fatherhood, Inspiration for the New Dad Generation. Luke, it is a movement, and there's a website, and people can get involved. Could you tell us a little bit about that, how to become involved with The Fatherhood?
Yeah, oh, yes, thank you. So basically, we've got a website, which is www.the-father-hood.com. If you go onto there, you can sign up to a weekly newsletter that will give you the best stories that we run each week. You can also follow us on social media, on Instagram, and on Facebook. And, yeah, look, I mean, as I said, we just want to be a voice for dads by dads. We've been described in the media as a sat-nav for dads to help men navigate modern fatherhood. And as part of that, we're just trying to offer, I guess, support, advice, and inspiration to help men along the way. You know, being a dad, it's not always easy. We describe it as fatherhood as being life turned up to 11, because, you know, you get these amazing highs at times, but you also get those, you know, crushing lows. You know, my 17-month-old was, you know, awake at sort of 3 a.m. this morning. I'm like walking around trying to get him back to sleep. So it's a wonderful time, but it's also a challenging time. So what we're hoping to do with the website and the book and social media is just to kind of create a bit of a community for dads, so that we can sort of share our dad hacks and tactics, and hopefully together make the ride a little bit easier than it might otherwise be.
So there you are. Get involved. The Fatherhood, it's a new book. It's also a movement. You've got the website. Look, we wish you every success, Luke, and for the benefit of all the men out there, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email. We'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. So it just remains for me now to give a special thank you, Luke Benedictus, or one of the creators of The Fatherhood. Luke, thank you very much for being a guest on Dads on the Air.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Bill. I've really enjoyed our chat.
Look, that's wonderful. So we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.